I'm going to be talking about leaves of absence, and we're going to probably balance this as about 85% FMLA, 15% ADA. I understand you have a fantastic ADA presentation on the agenda for tomorrow morning. So I'm going to focus mostly on FMLA, but we are going to talk about leaves under the ADA as well, because I would be remiss not to do some discussion of that. So the rough agenda, assuming we get there, is to talk a little bit briefly about regulatory developments under both FMLA and ADA, and then dig into recent developments in FMLA case law, and then talk about the leave as an accommodation beast and sort of where that finds us in 2018. We're talking about a lot of labor and employment issues over the 2 days of this conference, and although we feel like we've been grappling with leave for a really long time, it is still a relatively young type of law when we compare it to things like the NLRA and the FLSA and even Title VII and so on. And so we've got about 25 years of jurisprudence on this stuff and regulations, and that's about a third or maybe less than what we have on everything else. And the FMLA and the ADA, even though they get talked about together all the time, and I know as HR professionals, those of you in the room and counsel, lawyers who counsel, you're having FMLA and ADA discussions together, but they are fundamentally very different obligations and rights, right? So the FMLA is this massive regulatory beast that reads a little bit like the tax code. The last iteration that was a real overhaul of the regulations is about 800 pages if you add regulations and commentary, whereas the ADA is really an anti-discrimination statute, right? So when we're looking for FMLA answers, there's almost always an answer, whether we like it or not. And we go to the regulations and we go to see what the DOL has done in terms of opinion letters. The ADA is a little bit different. We typically are going first to the case law, which has flushed out an anti-discrimination statute that never really talked very comprehensively about accommodations. And then we go to the regulations or the guidance. And we rely heavily, when we're talking about ADA, on the EEOC's enforcement guidance.